Hello and welcome to our 50th episode of the Brother Streep Show. On the show today, I'll be talking about an encounter in a public bathroom.
I'll be breaking ground by curing the common cold.
And we'll be having the Jennifer Lawrence quiz.
Dull doesn't really like Jennifer Lawrence. And we've got someone that we all like though, Carl Weber. He's joining us to talk about his new show that's on at the Cape Town Comedy Club tonight.
Check it out.
Book your tickets. And he'll be playing Would You Rather with us. So enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Streep Show. Welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hello, welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hello.
Hey. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And it's our 50th episode.
Can you believe it?
It's good to be here. Have you had a good week?
I've had a frustrating week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm a little late to the game, but I just want to get this off my chest.
But you're late to having a frustrating week.
No.
So I'm right caught up with you now.
I'm right on the money with having a frustrating week. I'm right. Late to the game of watching the Marvel Netflix Iron Fist series. Okay. And now Defenders is out.
Yeah. Yes,
and I wanted to say a while back, I'm frustrated with Iron Fist because it's not as good as the others. But they know that the collector in me is going to have to watch them all because they've promised us magic in Defenders. And the thing with Iron Fist is that it's really not good. It's really quite bad.
But you were telling me the other day that it was getting better. Was that just like
I think that was hopeful thinking, yeah. I really wanted it to get better. Yeah. And I'm like, you sit there slogging through this thing. And the biggest problem, Andrew, is that the actor looks quite a lot like you.
What?
He looks like you and good friend of the band Hugh Lashbrook had a child. And he grew up to be a mediocre actor. Oh. And I'm just sitting there going, Andrew, Hugh, you can do better. Come on.
And Hugh. Yeah.
And I feel like that's frustrating. And the thing is, it's cheeky because they did really well with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Marvel, you enjoyed Daredevil,
Simon. I love Daredevil.
I think they did as well with Jessica Jones. I know you say slightly less, but still good.
Mm.
Luke Cage, I really enjoyed. And also, the other thing is that...
Is his superpower that he can just make a cage? Like
that
wherever
would be
he
a
goes.
Good superpower.
What is his power?
His skin is impenetrable.
And he's really, really strong.
Super kind of strong. Cage.
He's and super really strong. Suave.
Okay.
The problem with Luke Cage is that I didn't like Luke Cage.
Okay.
But Luke Cage is also the only one of the series that predominantly features a black superhero in the main role. And so I feel racist saying I didn't like Luke Cage.
That's the only one you don't like. Yeah. That is. Well, if you really loved Iron Fist now, then you could feel bad. But I think you've got like a nice steady decline in terms of what you've enjoyed. Anyway, Rosario Dawson's character's in it, and she's been in it throughout, which as the series go on, you start feeling like this is getting to be quite a push now that she just happens to know every superhero in Harlem and New York and Hell's Kitchen. But anyway, they've got me.
Okay.
What can I do? Defenders is out already.
Have you started watching the Defenders?
No, I'm still pushing through Iron Fist.
But do you have to? I'm sure. Clearly, if he's in Defenders, he survives whatever episodes remain.
Think of that. Spoiler. Like,
so who cares?
That's a huge spoiler. Anyway,
that's a great spoiler.
That's part of my week.
Okay. I had an interesting thing happen in the bathroom the other day.
Good.
Brilliant.
Straight in. Yeah. Love it.
It's good to talk about the bathroom. I would like to know, have you ever had full-on conversations from within the cubicle of the public bathroom?
A full-on conversation is more than like, is there any toilet roll? Yes. Okay. Then no.
No, this was a proper conversation, and I should probably say that it was with a stranger as well. I think it's better if you just happen to be in the bathroom with a friend, it's okay to be like, hey.
That's quite cool, because then you can have like really in-depth conversations, and people don't know that you're friends.
In fact, talking...
If there's anyone else there, they'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
this is hectic.
Talking in the toilet is like the original online chat room.
That's true. This conversation, though, was quite strange, because I went in to the bathroom. It was the bathroom at the Toad in Westlake.
Okay,
I'm gonna be specific, in case this guy has done this elsewhere.
Yeah,
you know now where to look out for him. So I was in the cubicle, minding my own business, doing my own thing, and a knock on the door happens. And so normally in that situation, if you're in, you don't normally just open the door. You normally...
Did you just say you're in?
Yeah. you would normally go, sorry, I'm busy. And generally speaking, that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
You don't have to like let them in and let them wait or whatever. There's nothing strange like that. You just... The conversation's over. But in this case, the guy wanted to converse with me. He said, well, how long are you going to be?
What?
Which is a bit of a personal question.
That is personal.
And hard to always know. I had an idea that I was probably going to be 2 to 5 minutes. And so
I think that's safe, 2 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, if it's taking much longer than that.
You start worrying.
Yeah, go see a doctor. So I said 2 to 5 minutes, yeah. Or maybe I went with 5 because I thought, you know,
yeah, you rather don't wanna, you don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure.
Rather under promise and over deliver. That's what I like to do in the bathroom.
Okay.
And so I said, you know, 5 minutes, and he said, oh no, come on, you have to be quicker than that.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, who's this guy? Is he intoxicated?
I do not know what his level of intoxication was.
Sounds like classic curmudgeon.
But he seemed very upset with me, and I was just like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
And then eventually he left. So I don't know where he went.
He waited it out.
He didn't wait it out. He was gone.
You waited it out.
I actually ended up taking about 1.5 minutes. So if he had been more patient,
right,
he would have gotten to do what he needed to do.
That would have been a great opportunity to just see how long you could wait in there.
Almost done. I'm almost done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm almost done. I'm almost done.
The last time I had a conversation from a cubicle, I think I'd locked myself in one. But like in primary school, I really should save this for a true or false.
Yeah.
And I turned the key the full way and it didn't turn back. Not the key, that like latchy thing.
Yeah.
And now for the rest of my life, I instinctively turn latches halfway so that the latch happens, but it's not the full click.
But I mean, can't you just push them out?
It was one of the turn ones where on the other side it would go engaged.
Oh, okay.
Occupied, free, whatever.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
It was terrifying. I was young and there was, you know, some people had to come let me out.
But I mean, the half latch, is that secure enough for you? Are you able to, you know, complete what's needed?
What's the word? Untense. Relax myself appropriately.
Yeah.
Would be more terrifying if you somehow managed to lock yourself in, but to the outside, it looked like the cubicle was available.
Yeah.
Because then people would walk past it. And if that just looked like it was available for the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah. They'd never know.
You might be stuck in that bathroom.
I'd have forgotten how to say things or call for help.
Well, you could be in, you know, a bathroom that is just
hermetically sealed.
Yes, yeah. In a soundproof bathroom.
We should go record in that bathroom.
We should indeed.
Sounds quite cool.
Andrew, I have a question for you, and it's largely puzzle based.
Okay.
Now, Dylan, you're going to have to stay out of this for briefly.
Is this what I think?
Wait, hold on.
Yes, it is. Because I know what Dylan feels about this matter.
Simon's got a gripe with me.
What?
And he's going to bring you in. He's going to word it in a way that you end up on his side.
No.
Before I get to chime in. I know how this is going to go. Let's let it play out.
Right. Okay. I will try deliver this in the most
Don't put
neutral.
Your arm around me. Don't put your arm around me.
I'll deliver this in the most neutral way possible. So someone I know has a really silly idea.
That's ridiculous.
Leading
the witness.
I mean, it's probably silly from what you say.
All right. I'll dial back. Right. Imagine you're doing a puzzle.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm imagining.
Think of a puzzle in mind. Yeah. You've got one?
Yeah, I've got
what
one.
What is it? Tell me about it.
It's a huge map of the world that Jeremy Westwood had.
Okay, huge map of the world. That's great. Now, you're sitting down, you're very excited to do the puzzle. You obviously look at the box to make sure that you know where you're at with the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be, you know, trying to make the map of the world, but then you suddenly find out you're making a meerkat. You want to have realistic expectations.
You need to know where Africa goes.
Okay, but now here's the question. After that first glance, and you're gearing to go, you're finding the corners.
Yeah.
Because you start with the corners, obviously.
Of course.
You're not an insane man.
We're on the same page, yeah.
Like, after that initial glance, do you use the box throughout the building of this puzzle, or do you kind of put the box away as if you should never go there ever again?
The box is your guide. It would be like throwing Yoda into the swamp. Is that a good reference?
I like the fact that the reference exists, but it's not a very good analogy.
I would use the box until the last piece was placed.
Would you feel that in some way that is cheating? Like, it's, you're cheating the puzzle if you're like looking at the box.
No, not at all. That's the whole point. That's why it's there. They don't sell it in like a kind of sealed compartment of the box.
I've also thought about this in the week since you've had an issue with how I do puzzles.
Yeah.
And I feel like you guys are just thinking back to the last time you did puzzles when you were kids.
Okay.
And you haven't advanced into puzzles everyone. How many different levels of puzzle?
Yeah, but how many piece puzzles do you do?
500 to 1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Without the box.
Well, you can't not use the box. It's not like your hands are tied, but you don't put it up there on a rest and just look at it and go, "There's a piece."
Yes, okay, you do.
It goes there. You're meant to kind of graduate from that.
I'm
when
so
you're like
happy.
5 or 6.
No, there's no rules for puzzles.
I think
you've
that
made that up.
Madness.
This is puzzle snobbery.
Okay. All, okay.
You sit all on your high stool, look down on us.
Nobody has ever mortals. Looked down on you. Is that you should try it sometime. It's a little bit more satisfying not being like handheld and spoon-fed the whole way through.
I love how high and mighty he is with this.
Wow. Look, just try it. Wow. Try it one day. You'll enjoy it more.
I'm not going to try it, mainly because I have no puzzles. If you lend me a good puzzle, then I'll try it. You can write into the show at podcast@brotherstreep.com. You can tweet us, you can Facebook us, and you can share your views on puzzle making with us, because I'd love to know whether Dylan and just the people in Dylan's near circle are the only ones that follow this extreme puzzling method.
I think I'm on a good point here, is that you're thinking back to when you first did puzzles. Try to do them as an adult now and go, "Oh, this is quite easy with the box out. Maybe I should just not have the box out. Just look at it every now and then if I'm completely lost, but mainly just make it up as I go along."
Yeah, well,
that sounds wrong. It does still have to end up looking like the actual thing.
The moment you're making up a puzzle as you go along, that's when you're getting off the scissors and you're starting to chop off little sides of the puzzle.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
I have a question for you two now.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another scenario.
All right.
You go to Kirstenbosch or any botanical gardens. This is for you too, Simon.
Okay.
You're on a romantic day.
Oh, wait. Who am I on this romantic day with?
You can be yourself. Oh, who you with?
Yeah.
Someone you feel romantic about.
Okay, all right.
Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Okay, all right. So I'm at Kirstenbosch Gardens
with
Ariel.
She's flopping around like crazy.
I think...
This is a terrible idea.
I don't think I would take Ariel with me. Maybe if I went to the Two Oceans Aquarium, but not Kirstenbosch.
Okay, well, we can maybe apply this to the Two Oceans Aquarium.
Okay.
Here's the thing. So it's quite a sunny day. There's not that much shade, but also the botanical gardens are huge.
Yes.
So there are places to go.
Yeah.
I'm there. I've set up a little picnic. It's all happening.
At what section of the botanical gardens?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Wow. As you kind of go in and go up the first little hill.
Okay, so you haven't tried hard to find a secluded place.
No, I found a nice place, but it's secluded in that there's
You're
no
in the
else.
Gift shop. You set up your picnic.
Yeah, I'm in the parking lot.
Can't afford to get in. I said I'll take you to Kirstenbosch.
It's one of the more beautiful parking lots.
It is. Plus also, who's to say you can't just kind of dig in and like burrow under?
Okay, so you found a secluded place. You're in the botanical
garden.
You're
having fun. There's a picnic for two set up.
Yeah.
Three other people just kind of come over and sit in the shade that is basically connected to your shade.
Okay.
They are as close to you as you are to your significant other.
Yes, yeah.
Like shoulder widths almost apart.
All right.
And you kind of look around and you go, "That's a weird thing to do." It's not that crowded. You could have found some more shade. You're literally sitting right next to, like I'm sitting with you. However, these people are of a different nationality. So I can't really, I do look at them. I go, you know, "That's weird. Why are you doing this?" But they don't catch on.
Okay.
Maybe it's cultural. So,
do you know what nationality they are?
Oh, I do, but I don't want to open it up. I don't want to open up the can of worms.
I'm an expert in all of the nationalities.
It rhymes with invasion. Let's go with that.
Okay, all right. So they're of an Asian persuasion.
Right. Yeah, it's the Asian persuasion came for the invasion.
Okay, yes.
So you think that's bad enough. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
And then suddenly 9 more just arrive and take up what space there isn't that doesn't exist between you and the first 3 who've joined. These other like 9 start joining in and start like shouting and playing, and I'm like, "What are you doing? How is this possible?" Like they're literally rolling hills as far as the eye can see, and you've come and sat like on our laps.
But you're forgetting that it is cultural, because Asia, lots of people in Asia, I feel it's quite cramped in there. So what's happened is they've deliberately...
It's quite big though.
To feel it. I don't know, those cities. It seems like those cities are bursting at the seams. They're like a metro rail train.
Okay.
So I think what's happened is they felt it's too open.
Right.
So they've gone, "Come on guys, get on close. Yeah, I like to feel a bit more huddly with my friends."
Yeah, that's the only way they feel safe.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is that if I looked at the setup that I'd set up with another human's eyes, I might have been even close enough to think, oh, somebody might be proposing today. This could be a super special moment. Little picnic for two, blankets out, wine, little picnic basket, brilliant. And they just come and sit on your picnic basket. And they don't respond to like weird looks because I'm giving them the weirdest looks I can give. Eventually, we just walked away. We walked away. Yeah. We walked away.
This would never happen at the aquarium.
Yeah.
That never happened. I want to know is, did you at least get close enough, or them in your space, to be able to be offered any of their food?
No, they didn't seem to even have food. They were just there for like the scenery. Yeah, I don't know. It was so bizarre.
What happened earlier in the week is we got together with Carl Weber. He's a comedian. He's a radio presenter. And he is a recent film star.
Mm.
And we thought we should chat to you about your show coming up. But first, let's play a little bit of Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Now, we on the show like to play games. So we're going to play a bit of Would You Rather. You got two options. You're going to tell us what you'd rather do.
I'd rather not play.
That, unfortunately, is not an option.
Yeah.
Would you rather be able to see smells or make your body smell like anything anytime?
See smells.
Yeah. So you get to see smells. So like you can look at something and go, oh, that's going to be rank. Or you can kind of be, you smell yourself and be like, oh, I'm a bit stinky right now. Just think a bit and you can smell like strawberries.
Conceptually, seeing smells, like I would imagine that you're just seeing like a cloud where the smell is. It wouldn't have like a label of what it's going to smell like.
I feel like you'd be able to tell just by looking at it.
Don't you think it would be in different colors? So how you perceive different colors in your head, it would be.
So what's a nice smelling color?
Like bright colors, like,
pink.
You know? Pink and yellow and
okay, yellow.
And obviously brown.
To go towards
brown
urine.
Wouldn't be a nice.
No, brown's a stinky smell color.
Yeah.
Okay, or the other one to make your body smell like anything.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go for that one because I feel like as I've got older, I've got further and further into the like BO that actually smells bad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so,
not good.
No, it's not great at all. So if I could make myself smell really good all the time and like in a crowded scenario where you want some space, smell really, really bad.
Oh, so you think you'd use that?
It's like a weapon.
Yeah,
That's a superpower.
Yeah, then I'd go for that.
That's good on a train. Yeah. You get very close to people very quickly on the train.
Yeah,
and I think if you were to smell less than desirable, you might be able to get out the door quicker.
Get them out of your personal space.
Yeah.
I think I'd do that as well. I'd go for that. Only because colognes have become so expensive. So I usually pop around to... is it Red Square with Edgar's? I pop around and they have a range of testers before I go. So, and I just spray and spray.
It's true. Those tiny little colognes are almost always free.
And they know me. They know me there. So like, hey, Carl, hey, yeah, where's your Davidoff? Okay, cool. I'm off. See, I'm going out.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get into cologne. I've always just been like, Dio. I'm like, care about the underarms and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I hope that the underarm stuff wafts up enough to the general face region that
you
can smell.
You've never sprayed a Dio onto your wrist?
No.
I've done that occasionally on a special night.
Yeah.
Behind. Spread on the wrist, get behind under
the behind the knees.
I'm sure she's felt very special that you did that.
Yeah. It's like all the kind of gestures of cologne, but without the cologne.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Second would you rather question. Would you rather change gender every time you sneeze? Okay. So imagine that you sneeze, suddenly you're the opposite. Or would you not be able to tell the difference between a baby and a muffin?
What? Did you make these up?
I didn't make these. This is from, I think, a Would You Rather Twitter feed. So this is what the internet's thinking. They kept up at night thinking, oh my word.
Good grief.
Should I change gender every time I sneeze or one day accidentally be in a bakery and eat a baby?
Yeah. That is the problem.
Yeah.
Equally, you don't want to eat a baby, but you also don't want to cuddle a muffin.
Yeah, exactly.
I would rather cuddle a muffin than eat a baby.
That's true.
Any day of the week.
I mean, Carl, thoughts?
It's a tough one. I don't want to change gender. That is weird. And imagine if I had like hay fever.
Yeah.
I'd be like, girl, boy. Like, nah, it would be weird. I don't know. The baby thing could be dangerous.
It would be very dangerous. Imagine going around to see your sisters nice brand new muffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said that she's got this great muffin that she's just bought.
Yeah.
And you go over and you think it's a baby.
Yeah.
Wait, again, I'm going the wrong way around. Yeah. It's all about not wanting to eat a baby. Yeah. I'm going gender. Gender fluidity is getting more and more.
It's in these days.
Yeah. It's, yeah, you know, you're going to be in with the times.
I feel like if you knew you had the problem about sneezing, changing gender, you could probably control it a bit more. You'd be that much quicker to take the Allergex in the morning to take get rid of your allergies. And then you might even be able to use it to your advantage.
But you know, sneezing creeps up on you. Sneezing doesn't give you, it will just happen in like 2 seconds and you could be like, I could be on stage. And I'll, but you know what, I'm still going to go with sneezing because I don't want to kill children. I don't want to.
At the end of the day, that is worse.
Good call. I think you made the right call there. All right. Would you rather sleep on a bed with plastic sheets or wear rubber underwear like Batman's suit?
Sure.
So it's like almost discomfort for the majority, like 80% of your day, or like
80% of your night.
Yeah.
Plastic sheets. Basically, plastic sheets, huh?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like those plastic things people put over their beds to keep the dust off.
Yeah.
You know, like really clean. Germophobes, I think, is what it's called.
Mm. Yeah. So you'd have a very clean bed.
You could get used to that, though. People have slept on worse things.
And if you wet the bed, it's like really, really, really easy to clean. It's just
It's like one wipe and you're done. Slip and slide.
Exactly.
That's not terrible. Whereas the other thing, I don't know, chafing.
I could get into rubber underwear, though. It'd be quite fun.
Well, you could get into it, but would you be comfortable in it?
Would I be able to get out of it?
I think with enough baby powder and
also,
the rubber
underwear.
Also, he
only wears that when he's Batman. Do you get to also wear like snazzy suits as Bruce Wayne?
No, I think you
just
have
that
to
constantly.
Yeah.
Over your pants.
Oh, is it over other stuff? Is it like just wearing a Batman suit?
Look, it's not clear. You can decide. Although I think obviously then you would pick just wearing it on the outside of your clothes. Although that said, job interviews and all those sorts of things,
you
have
only
to
need
explain.
One job interview.
I think if you
get
own
the
it,
role as Batman, yeah, then you're sorted.
Just own it. Just walking. Hey, yeah. So underpants on the outside. Let's get down to business.
Yeah,
you've just
exactly.
Owned it.
Confidence.
It's true. Yeah. You do just have to sort of kind of go in there. All right. Well, I think we've solved that. We've solved the internet's would you rather questions.
Yeah.
I feel
people
like I'm
sleep easy on their plastic covered sheets tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
So that was Carl playing Would You Rather with us, and we'll tune in with him just now to hear about the Bloem Boyke Diaries.
Yeah, his show that's coming out tonight, I believe.
It is, so you must go
at
watch
the
it.
Cape Town Comedy Club.
You have to say it like that, hey?
You do, because I was going to say CTICC at first, but I don't think that's where it's happening, so I saved myself. Cape Town Comedy Club.
It's good. It's got its own little jingle.
Yeah, it does. I discovered something strange the other day.
Ooh. Hopefully not medical.
No.
Was it in the Upside Down?
Stranger Things. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that. No, it was a bottle of Sunlight Liquid.
Okay.
Dishwashing liquid stuff. That halfway down, the inside of the bottle has the directions for use, but on the inside... You know how long it takes to get down to halfway of a Sunlight liquid bottle?
But
it's
then
like half a year.
You've drunk too much of it.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not using it correctly, what on earth are you using half a bottle of Sunlight liquid for?
It kind of freaks me out that they have the green one and then that like red one.
Yeah.
Who's buying the red one?
It is strange.
And there's a yellow one.
What?
Yeah.
No, surely that's just someone...
It's lemon zest.
He's desperate for a pee in a long car journey.
But I buy the red med lemon.
Okay.
Yes, that is the better one.
Whoa.
It's like med cherry.
Well, if you need a change.
Yeah, you do need a change.
Yeah, you do.
From med lemon.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Awful.
Yeah.
And find out soon about other sicknesses. You might hear on the podcast that I'm a bit... It's because I'm going through...
Menopause,
yes. I'm going through man flu.
I wish I'd known that before I sat right next to you.
I'm quite happy Andrew is betwixt Dill and I, so I'm quite happy having him as a buffer.
Yes, he is taking on all the germs.
No, don't breathe out too close to me, Andrew. Is the red med lemon like the red Sunlight liquid? Is it because it's like antibacterial?
No, I think it just tastes better.
Okay.
I think med lemon is very hard to swallow.
And
so
why are Sunlight Liquid trying to sort of divide their audience, their users? Why can't they just make something that cleans your plates and is antibacterial?
I guess it's like,
why is it one or the other?
Yeah.
Oh, also, I've got very, oh, my plates won't make me sick, but they've still got dirt on them.
I don't believe that one drop in water, like they used to say, is going to get anything clean. I remember that ad, one little like cartoon drop. Like I'm pouring in like, you know, two good squeezes and the suds run out pretty quickly.
It's the sort of thing that if you looked closely on the ad, it probably said not to scale on the bottom.
Yes.
And they had like tiny bowls and tiny things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like your bowls and things.
Exactly.
Do you fluff up the water and to try and make the foam as dense as possible?
Yeah, I do a bit of that.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that. I do it like almost too much.
To the point that your kitchen looks like a foam party.
Yeah, to the point that you can't really see the dishes anymore.
Okay.
And like you've had to roll up your sleeves because you're covered in the foam.
That's a cunning plan. If like you're sick of a big wad of dirty dishes, you kind of halfway get to washing them and just go, oh, there's no dishes anymore. It's just this fun mountain of foam.
Yeah, I'll hide all the cutlery in the soap for Christine to wash up.
I had a weird thing where I followed somebody home recently.
Okay, that, I mean, what do you mean you had a weird thing where you followed somebody home?
So, you know,
was it intentional?
No, but it was like, it was one of those ones where, so basically the guy in front of me did something that in another world I could have got annoyed at and followed him home.
Yes,
I had that thought in my head, like, this guy deserves some road
rage. What did he do?
I don't know, cut me off or just did something stupid. But then, like, after quite a while, I realized that I was still following him home.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously going to wherever I was going or a very similar route. But it was like all the way from Musenberg getting onto the M3, like the same little turnoffs, like under a bridge, left of the robots, all this stuff. And I'm like, I wonder if this guy is starting to wonder if I am actually following
and
him.
Is because that
you would notice.
So then
I would notice somebody in my rear view.
Yeah.
So then you kind of, to make sure you just flashed your lights to just kind of see like, say, you know, I just want to know, if do you know, you flashed your light, you hooted a bit.
Yeah.
You kind of shouted out, oi!
I held a big knife out of my window.
Yeah.
I just think, if he in the initial transgression had felt guilty about it at all and looked back in his rearview mirror to catch like what car it was that he'd annoyed and then realized that that car was with him about 25 minutes later, that must be a fairly scary moment.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. I'm not going to take like some huge detour to convenience this guy that so heinously inconvenienced me earlier. So I just follow the track and hope that at some point he turns away.
Was this during the day or at night?
It was kind of approaching night.
Okay, because if it's during the day...
So let's say the day then.
Because if it's during the day and it's quite like, you know, you're quite visible, then I don't think you would be too afraid.
But you and I did this once. Do you remember this? We were coming off the freeway.
Yeah.
This is quite a fun story. We were coming off the freeway and there's like that point where you either have to wait for all the cars who are backed up to turn off onto Kendall Road, or you can like do this little jimmy and kind of go up onto some person's driveway and like over another driveway and around the side, which we tried to do and didn't quite make it. So the next guy came around and started hooting at us and we're like, cool, we're following them home. And we followed them and they happened to live like in your road. So we literally followed them for like ages and then just drove slowly past their house when they turned into their driveway. Like, we know where you live.
That is hectic.
Yeah.
Or maybe they followed us home.
Yes.
But they somehow did it.
They were in the front.
Preemptively. I think
lead
it's possible.
Follow from the front or something.
What were you wearing? What were you wearing? Because like,
what was I wearing?
Yeah, because it depends. You know, if you were in a kind of like casual vest.
No, I was in my balaclava.
Okay, good.
And I only drive in a balaclava at night.
Would you like? Would you have? If you were wearing sunglasses, would you have taken them off to seem less threatening?
I think I'm more threatening with sunglasses off.
Really? Are you?
Yeah, if I'm annoyed, you can tell by my eyes.
Yeah, he kind of develops a unibrow.
I do.
So kind of like...
I've got quite a deathly stare.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I haven't experienced it because I probably would have remembered it.
Yeah, in your rear view.
Or not been alive. Yeah.
I don't know.
So on that note, let's go back to Carl and hear more about his show.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for our special guest today.
So tell us about Blomboiki Diaries, the big show.
Yeah, well, Blomboiki Diaries, my debut one-man show, my first one-man show. It's directed by Stuart Taylor.
Mm.
And it basically chronicles my move from Bloemfontein, my decision to move, and then the actual move to Cape Town.
Okay.
And the reasons behind it and where it came from. I like to describe it as a roller coaster of emotions in the show itself. It's a stand-up comedy show,
yeah,
but there are points where, you know, we get a little real and I take you through some of the dark times. Moving to Cape Town was hellish. It was, Cape Town is hectic. People, Cape Townians don't realize how hectic they are.
Yeah, we're clicky, apparently.
Yeah, it's hectic. Mm. And coming from Bloemfontein, people immediately, once they find out you from a small town, they dismiss you immediately. Mm. So like for the first year or two, like it was just like, just me, you know, in Cape Town. And it was like, I just want to leave.
Yeah.
And then once you start to become a little, I don't want to say famous, but people know who you are. Yeah. And then they flock to you, which is weird. You know, yeah. It's not cool either. But so I've told my story to Stuart Taylor, the director. So he said, put it down. We wrote a brand new show. So he said, everything you're doing in stand-up comedy right now, we're not going to put in the show.
Okay.
So I'm like, what? Yeah. I got some gold here. Yeah. I got some good jokes.
Spend years crafting this.
So he said, nah, tell your story. And it was quite like, he says, the dark, because I was telling him, on a personal level, we were talking about a buddy of mine that I lost. And he said, put that in the show. He's like, no, I've never, like, I tell that to the closest. He says, put it in the show. Because comedy is truth, man. It's just like, it's the realest thing.
Mm. Yeah.
The realest genre. You can go on stage and just bare your soul. And it makes you human. And people like seeing the human side. You know, the vulnerability of people.
Yeah.
And it's story. People connect to story and hearing an experience that's outside of their own.
So I'm not sorry I went that way. And it's really just I think it's a great show. You know, like when I look at, I was very hectic on stage before. And with Stuart Taylor's directing, you guys know Stuart Taylor. He's very, he's a very suave kind of relaxed kind of laid back guy.
Yeah.
So he kind of rubbed off on me. And I'm just at that, you know, the good level of between crazy and just chilled. So I can just
always
take my time.
A bunch of flowers up your sleeve.
Exactly, you know. Marcel Odia.
Did he try to get you to incorporate some magic into your show?
No, he's actually...
is he keeping that all
to himself? He's like, no more magic for me.
Oh, is he out?
People are laughing at me.
Well, that's good for a comedian.
he's like, I don't want to do magic anymore.
And where exactly are you putting on Bloemboyke Diaries?
All right, so the show has run about three times in Cape Town. So this is the third one.
Mm.
So this will be the third one. It's running at Cape Town Comedy Club. And it's such a struggle to get good theater space in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Mm. As an up-and-coming comic. People don't recognize you. They don't want to take the risk on you. So you go, you do your show wherever you can and with whoever will have you. So Cape Town Comedy Club made me an offer and said, listen, come do your show at the Comedy Club.
Mm.
And I think it's a great space for the show. Because a theatrical show doesn't, which I like to think this is, doesn't live in every space. So I wouldn't like to do the Bloemboyke Diaries at a pub. It just wouldn't live there.
Yeah,
you know,
you need a bit of a stage, a bit of a sense of you're coming to see something, coming to experience a story.
So it's happening on the 28th. It's a Monday, so I don't think there'll be a lot of parents there with babysitting problems. But so it's one night only, and just to see what it would be like in that space, and then. Yeah.
And you say you've performed it before in Cape Town.
I've done it.
Did you not take the show up to Grahamstown when you...
I did. I launched it in Grahamstown.
Okay.
So 2 years back, I did the show in Grahamstown. It was awesome. Grahamstown is such a cool workshop kind of environment where you can just get 10, 9, 8 shows just to work and workshop that show and bring it, come back. You come back with a good show, you know? So I lost a lot of money in Grahamstown.
But you gained a good show.
Got a good show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, Grahamstown's weird in that way, in that I feel with our shows, it takes us a year and a half to really get them down.
Yeah.
Like, so you're sitting in the second year of the show and eventually halfway through that run, you're like, this is it.
This is the show.
We've gotten the bits in between the songs. We've tweaked the songs to be better. Like, everything's now running. And then it's like, you got one more year to do it. And then you got to do a whole new show.
That's the thing.
Like, just as you get it right, it's like you got to move on.
But, you know, that's where I am now with Bloemboyke Diaries. I feel like the show, from when I started in Grahamstown to where the show is now, It's almost, it's the same show, but I had a shell in Grahamstown, and now it's bursting at the seams. It's such it's a great, colorful story. And obviously, like you guys said, it takes time to polish and take this up, put that in, and what, you know. So it's constant direction from Stuart all the time whenever I'm performing it.
Yeah.
He says, I like how you did that. I don't like how you did that. Just be aware of this. So everything comes into play, like, you know, expression, the way you say things.
Yeah.
All of those kind of things. And now the show is pretty polished.
And are you already thinking of like the next one-man show idea, or are you sort of happy to...
I am.
Okay.
Well, I am.
Give us a tease.
Okay, so what's gonna be about. I've got two ideas.
All right.
So the second one would be more of just like a comedy special, like an hour-long Carl Weber Live kind of vibe. And then the second idea I had was, I have such a strong Muslim following in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
So I get booked for a lot of Muslim events, and people see me as that Christian guy that makes, pokes fun at Muslim people.
Yeah.
But obviously in a good way. So I was, Nasara is Christian in Arabic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about calling my show that Nasara brother.
Yeah.
Because they always like, there's a Nasara brother.
Yeah.
And I was like, come watch that Nasara brother. So I want to tell, like, Cape Malay especially. So Cape Malay, I want to tell a story about how we Christians from Cape Town see Cape Malay people. And it's weird because we have family that's Cape Malay and Muslim. So it's, you're never too far away from them. And their food and how we experience the curries and all. So very... I don't want to say,
that's the first thing I'm thinking.
Exactly. So I don't want to get into the religion at all.
Yeah.
I want to get into their everyday lives and how we interact with them.
And how when you're eating one, you always end up eating a cardamom pod right at the end.
Exactly.
That's the worst. This was so good. Yeah. And now all I can taste is cardamom.
I was going to say, that there must be quite a difference in the colored community in Bloemfontein and the colored community in Cape Town.
Huge difference.
And do you feel like almost like on the outside of it, or have you now kind of felt like being here longer?
Well, yeah, being here longer and also doing comedy for this long, I've kind of integrated into... Yeah, I'm kind of almost, I don't like to admit it, but I'm Cape Townian now, I guess.
So good.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
All right, so don't watch Game of Thrones on Monday night. Rather go off to the Cape Town Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Yes.
And watch Carl.
Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions.
Welcome to the Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions. This is where we bring some inventions to the table that we hope will break ground.
Oh.
And fix things that are wrong in the world.
I've bought a pneumatic drill.
Have you?
Yeah.
I like how the P is silent.
I'm pretty sure it's going to break ground.
Nice. I mentioned earlier that I'm feeling a bit fluey.
Yeah.
So I thought we could bring some inventions to kind of fix or just, you know, take care of the common cold, the flu, or any sickness in general.
Old what flu-y do you got, Andrew?
Well, I have a groundbreaking invention.
Brilliant.
So... I mean, the thing is that germs are mainly passed from person to person in a number of ways, but one of them is by shaking hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in winter, I hate shaking hands with people. It's just the worst.
In winter?
Yeah, because that's when most people are sick.
Why is it seasonal?
Yeah, that's when most people are sick.
Okay.
I guess in summer, people are sweaty. So I just don't like shaking hands.
All right.
The short answer. But my invention is, think like a kind of wristband, okay. That has a sort of... Spider-Man's spray thing, except short range.
Okay.
So what happens is you go in to shake someone's hand and you just quickly press the thing on your wrist and it sprays hands.
Well, no, you don't press it like this. Surely it's got to be this.
Okay, thank you. There we go. Like that. And it sprays hand sanitizer onto your hand. So then you're cleaning the person that you're shaking's hand and you're cleaning your hand at the same time.
I don't know if they famously... You normally have to warn someone if you're going to have a slightly wet handshake.
So you will soon develop a reputation for having a really wet handshake.
Okay.
And no one will want to shake your hand.
But I think if they think, oh, I'm going to get free hand sanitizer out of this, they might actually make a beeline for you and be like, I'm going to now shake Andrew's hand. Because I just had a bit of a dirty Gatsby that I was eating there. Now I want to clean it.
At the entrance of ShopRite Checkers with those little towelettes to spray people's hands when they pick up baskets.
I reckon that's fine because, you know, like your hand's still clean at the end of it.
Also, how is word of mouth going to travel to people who haven't met you, who are potential handshakers?
No, how people shake hands gets around, trust me.
It's true.
I guess I will have to trust you because I have nothing to go by.
I know how people shake hands.
I can tell you this.
How do we shake hands?
Fine.
that's a good review.
Oh, good, nice, thanks.
Andrew Kerr, the hand sanitizing man.
Yes.
That's going to be like a circus attraction. I'll tell you who has a particularly bad handshake.
Yeah.
Because it's not often that I can deliver some hot celebrity gossip.
Okay.
But I have shaken one particular celebrity's hand before, and they were very limp. It was like shaking a sock.
Well, look, to be fair, celebrities should be given a pass because they have to shake so many hands. They probably don't have very strong muscles.
It's just tired.
Yeah.
Andy Parsons from Mock the Week.
Oh, really?
Very, very weak handshake. And it's quite surprising because he looks like quite a tough person.
Yeah,
he looks like a bouncer.
Yeah, he's got that kind of look around him.
You know, when you're coming up, to shake someone's hand, anyone who's ever heard of Andy Parsons, that was spot on.
That was very, very good.
Okay, so he's got a limp wrist.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Limp brisket.
Oh, I saw them in the UK too.
Thanks.
I've got an idea.
Okay.
You know vaccines.
I do know them personally.
Now, it's controversial, but I'm on the side that they work. I say vaccinate your kids.
Sure. Yeah.
Just do it. But it doesn't stop there.
Okay.
That's like vaccinating for all things that don't matter anymore. Polio, smallpox. No one's getting that stuff. It's the common cold that we're actually facing here, clearly. And I think that we need to do just kind of a vaccination room where you have the worst kind of germs and things introduced to you.
Okay.
For a year.
A whole year.
And you spend a year, you just take a year out.
Yeah.
You're close to death. It's an awful year.
Is this when you're a kid still?
Sometime in your life. You can choose when you do it. But
I just do it at the end.
The earlier, the better. If your goal is to beat sickness, then doing it earlier makes more sense.
Okay.
So you just have this atrociously sick year.
Why a year? Why a full year?
Because you have to give time for all the strains to develop and mutate.
Oh, my word.
Don't you know how sickness works?
Clearly
do.
Yeah.
And at the end of that year, you come out, you take a med lemon, a med cherry, you get better.
Okay.
I haven't worked out the part how you get better, but you get better. And the next time flu or cold tries to attack you, you're like, I don't think so.
Okay,
I am the Fort Knox.
Okay, so the key part of your idea is that the bit that makes you better, you haven't figured out yet.
Right. Well, you just kind of sleep it off or whatever.
I'm starting to think my wet hand sanitizer idea is pretty good.
Look, I've got a better one. We'll come back to it. That's just one idea.
I think my idea might be slightly better than that. I find when I get a cold, more often than not, it's not a cough. I can kind of handle a cough. Everyone can handle a cough, actually. It's the least worrying way of being sick. Unless you're coughing up blood.
Unless you're in a movie, because then it's very suspicious. Yes. As soon as someone coughs in a movie, you know they're going to die.
That's true. But so long as you're not coughing up blood, you're generally going to be quite fine. My problem is the sneezing. The constant sneezing, constantly having to blow your nose, constantly sniffing, and you feel like you're being a pain. So what happens is, generally speaking, I try use tissues or soft tissue.
tissue.
But eventually, my nose starts to go raw
from
too much tissuing.
Yeah.
And so I want to invent the nose trough.
The nose trough.
Yeah, the nose trough.
Okay.
Now, what it is, it's kind of like a bib for the nose.
Mm. Yeah.
It just clips onto your face, maybe kind of like onto each ear, there's a little clip, and it goes in front of your nose, sort of like Emma from Bates Motel, except not. And then you don't have to worry about sniffing.
Yeah.
You can just let it sort of drip out of your nose.
Ugh.
You don't have to worry about sneezing, like having to quickly go get a handkerchief.
You definitely have to worry about sneezing.
You can just sneeze into the trough.
Because if you've got
a half full trough
and you sneeze into
something that's over here, that's going to spread it like twice the distance.
You just go for a polite sneeze and it'll... Achoo! Nothing too vicious.
You can control the level of your sneeze.
I think when you're sick, when you're like properly cold sick, you're not having those aggressive sneezes.
I go loud and proud always.
Loud and proud. When you're cold, when you're like shivering in bed, you're doing the massive sneeze.
I want to climb onto the shoulders of your nose trough with my next idea, because I actually invented the nose catheter.
Actually, that sounds good.
Which is basically the same idea. And I like that we both came up with this independently. But I also agree, the biggest problem is the mucus and the eventual rawness and the amount of tissues you go through.
Yeah.
So if you just, if it was just acceptable to just have a pipe, insert it up your nose, a little bag in your like breast pocket that's just kind of leaking and filling, and you just, guys, I just need to go change my nose catheter.
Yeah.
It's been half a day or whatever.
I like this. But there you go. Can we up it and just connect it to a normal catheter? Just so that it's, because it's going to happen anyway. We're going to get old. We're going to probably need one. And if we just get used to it early, we'll save a lot of trips to the bathroom. You're sitting there watching Game of Thrones. You don't have to. You don't have to get up and go to pee.
You can don't just have to cry that Jon Snow just died.
Yeah. Spoilers.
He didn't.
So I like that idea. I think that's a good idea.
I also think that's a great idea.
The nose catheter.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll take 70% of the profits on that off the shoulders of giants.
Great.
Andrew, do you have any other ideas?
My only other idea was a small badge to say that you're sick. So that people don't come near you.
I think a lot of your ideas... Ow, I just hit myself in the tooth. I think a lot of your ideas are just so that you don't have to interact with other humans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Last week, you were talking about like having a pole that just extended out a meter around you so that nobody could come into your personal space.
That would also work. Another idea that I also had is, you know, when cats and dogs have to wear those things around their necks?
Yes.
That you do that with people.
That's a terrible idea.
Why?
Because that thing would just be like a cloud of germ. You'd never get better.
Yeah, but it would keep it in the cloud. It would keep it in the cone.
We're trying to get better.
No. We're
How
trying,
can you get better?
We are trying not to make me sick. That is the goal.
Is that for somebody else to wear?
Yeah.
Well, you've taken this question very selfishly.
Yes.
Because I am currently sick. I'm looking for ideas here.
I am frantically looking for cones.
Oh, I think we've broken some ground there.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just, I've got a really bad sniff.
What? Gross. Right.
And it wasn't a sniff. It was...
Wow!
The quiz!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's quiz time. This week's quiz is the Jennifer Lawrence quiz.
Ooh, I know her.
And we're going to start with Jennifer Round One Runs. Which is general.
I turned myself off to Jennifer Lawrence after she massacred Mystique in the X-Men films.
Do you think that was entirely her fault, though?
Yes.
I think you probably would also not want to dress up in that very nude blue makeup.
I just didn't like how she was like such a big name that they had to write X-Men films around her. It's not her fault that she got so big. It's that the public allowed her to get so big.
If they were writing these films around her, isn't it just her fault for walking into the room that they're writing it in?
Something like that.
Visual joke.
Well, this round is all about Jennifer Lawrence and general knowledge around her. So, the first question is, while growing up and in between acting, Jennifer helped at the children's summer day camp that her mother ran. But what did she do? Dylan.
She milked the cows.
Incorrect.
Beep. She made sandwiches.
It's wrong.
She danced.
No.
Beep. She taught them theater lessons.
No.
She read them stories.
No, it's wrong. It's I would say more medical.
Beep.
She
Dylan.
Helped them fix their
Beep.
Wounds.
She did first aid. She did first aid. Beep.
You've got to give it to me. Surely.
She played doctor with them.
No. So
Beep. Okay. She put on plasters.
Not close.
What?
Beep. She
more medical.
Did the Heimlich
maneuver. Medicines.
No, this is like a position, like a position.
She was the nurse.
I'm going to give you that.
She was the doctor.
Yeah, she was an assistant nurse. There we go. Well done.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The second question is, she was also an extra on Monk, where she starred as a mascot. But which animal was the mascot? Simon.
Meerkat.
Incorrect.
Tiger.
Right continent. Incorrect.
Elephant.
Incorrect.
Beep. Lion.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
Lion mascot.
That's why they call her Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer.
Oh, lion runs.
Yeah.
Okay. And here we go. The third question is for Winter's Bone, which apparently is a film.
Yeah.
Lawrence, I don't know why they call her Lawrence. I should have called her J-Law. Had to learn to fight, chop wood, and skin a squirrel to portray her character Ree. But did she actually kill a squirrel during the film?
Beep.
Simon.
Is this a yes or no answer?
It is a yes or no answer. And you
beeped
yes.
Well, I guess I'll go no then.
Yeah. You beeped yes, you beeped no. Yeah. The correct answer was yes.
Well,
she did. It would have been a question.
A stupid question.
No.
Okay, round number three.
I've been known to be tricky. All right. And the final question in this example is, the actress was painted nude and covered in scales for her part. She beep. Told people... Okay. Silent is beeped.
She told people that she didn't want to spend that long in makeup.
I would like to remind you at this point that this is generally the last question in the round is a numbers question.
Oh.
No, he's already given
his answer.
She told
people it took 5.5 hours.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm going to carry on.
To carry on with the question.
Sure. She told People magazine... It took how many women each day during the 4 month shoot to paint the actress completely
blue. What was his answer about hours?
Yeah.
What was the number? You said 5.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 8.
Eight. Well, the closest answer was Dylan's 8 because it was 7. So yay! Dylan gets the point.
Wow. If only I had gone for 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have to fight to the death.
Yeah.
The point.
Okay. Round two is first, best, most. And basically how this works is the first movie that she was involved in, the best movie according to IMDb, and the most money that was made from that movie. So... here are the first movies that she was involved with.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The options are... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good. Here we go. Garden Party, The Burning Plane, and The Poker House.
Garden Party.
Garden Party.
I think she was
Dylan.
One of the little kids playing in the background.
All right.
Beep. The last one.
The last one. The Poker House.
Yeah, yeah. The Poker House. Right. Poker House.
Well, you are both incorrect. It was The Burning Plane in 2008. In fact, all of those movies came out in 2008, but that was the earliest.
No, you are tricksy today.
I'm very tricksy. Okay, here we go. The best movie that she's been involved with, according to IMDb ratings. Mm. Here we go.
I get this.
Okay, X-Men, Days of Future Past, X-Men, First Class, and Silver Linings Playbook.
Beep.
Simon, you beep first.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, I'll have to second that for a cowardly 1 point.
Okay, well, you're both wrong. It was X-Men Days of Future Past.
What? She's hardly in that film.
Which on IMDb is 8, and the other two are 7.8. Okay, and...
who rates these films on IMDb?
Mr. IMDb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the most that one of the movies she's been involved with has grossed.
Okay.
It's really gross. here are the options.
Like Andrew just turning your foot away from my face to tell me that joke.
Okay, here are the options. Hunger Games. Hunger Games Catching Fire. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
Hunger
Dylan.
Games Mockingjay Part 1.
All right.
Beep.
Simon.
Catching Fire.
Catching Fire. Is the right answer.
Yeah.
Right. Simon gets 2 points.
Everyone
and
knows that the Mockingjay Part 1 was a financial flop.
Really?
Well,
I just thought
Catching Fire
gained momentum.
Catching Fire grossed $424 million, and Mockingjay was $337 million.
What a disaster!
So quite,
why did they bother making it? 300 and something million.
Round three is finish the
superette
quote.
Superette.
Wow. Okay. So the first quote from J-Law is: "Even as far back as when I started acting at 14, I know I've never considered
beep
Simon."
Pornography.
Is incorrect.
Stripping?
No, is incorrect.
Oh. Yeah.
But also, you're both on the same wrong track there.
Right.
Beep. Being a nun.
Similar track still, but wrong.
How's that a similar track?
It's kind of the opposite.
Okay. Yeah, so similar.
In the opposite direction.
Can I hear the question again?
Yeah, sure.
That pornography thing just threw me.
Okay. So this is as far back as when she started acting. Mm-hmm. I know I've never considered
cannibalism.
It's incorrect.
Mime. Beep. Musical theater.
No, this is the opposite of success.
Failure.
Dylan beeped, and he's correct. The second quote is the internet.
I rely on such heavy clues.
The internet to me is kind of like a black hole, and I
love it.
Is incorrect.
Beep. Hate it.
I'm going to give you that. Never really go on it. Which is kind of the same thing.
It's not the same thing, really.
Why are you arguing? Okay.
Well, because it's not the same thing. Because if I was just, you know, afraid of the seesaw,
yeah,
because I never really go on it, it doesn't mean I hate it.
Well, you got the point.
Well, thank you for the point.
You got the point. So here we go. The last quote is, I wanted to be a doctor when I was little. So I'm okay with
beep
Simon
pretending to be a doctor.
Incorrect.
Yes, being an actress.
No, that's wrong. She's beep. Okay with some things that go along with being a doctor.
Helping people.
Then is incorrect.
Making people laugh. Patch Adams.
What? Why is a doctor
he makes
a comedian?
People laugh.
No.
Have you seen Patch Adams?
I'm okay with nursing people's wounds.
Oh, what? Yeah, getting closer. That's incorrect.
I'm okay with being a nurse.
No.
Because well, she was a nurse earlier.
I know, yeah. it's similar. It's not the same.
Give us more clues.
Okay, well, what do doctors have to deal with in general?
Complaints.
No.
Sickness. I'm okay with death.
I'm okay with people coughing around me and like Andrew Kerr.
Yes.
You said death. I'm going to give it to you. It was blood and guts.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I'll definitely take it for that.
Well, yours
point.
Also wasn't the same, according to you. So there we go. We're going to move on to round four, which is distant relative. And this is where we talk about something related to her. And that's the Hunger Games.
Oh, so perfect.
Here we go. Here are some questions about the Hunger Games. While on set, Jennifer Lawrence told Josh Hutcherson, whoever that is, I don't know.
Peter.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. She could kick all the way over his head, but when she tried, what happened?
Dylan. She kicked him in the head.
And what happened?
His head bled. He went blind.
That is incorrect.
Surely he kicked him in the head is enough.
Dylan's getting one. I'm giving an extra point for what happened after that.
He was knocked unconscious.
Is the right answer.
An extra point?
Yeah.
Oh, I just feel like Dill was allowed to beep in and give an essay until he got the question right.
But he did get it right straight away. So sorry for that.
Took a while to get there.
Okay. The second question is, Elizabeth Banks said that the hardest part of wearing Effie's elaborate costumes was what?
Beep.
Simon.
The bra.
It's incorrect.
The wig.
No.
Beep the makeup.
No.
Not smiling and laughing.
No, it is a cosmetic thing, but it's not the makeup, it's not the wig.
Eyes.
No.
The eyelashes.
No, it's not the corset. It's not face related.
The corset, the shoes. No. Beep the shoes, the high heels. Beep the leggings.
Nope.
None of those things.
None of those things.
The gloves.
Getting closer, but wrong.
Fingernails.
Yes, that's correct, Dylan.
Oh,
well done.
Getting closer.
Apparently, she couldn't use the bathroom without having someone help her unzip her costume.
That's like me.
The third question is, J-Lo went deaf in one ear for a week during filming of Catching Fire. How?
Beep.
So, Dylan actually beeped first.
There was an explosion near her.
Is incorrect.
Beep. She shot a gun close to herself.
Is not correct.
Someone shot a gun close to her.
Counts as an explosion.
No, it's not right. This has to do.
Ooh, swimming, water in the ear.
Is the right answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had to dive into stagnant water for a stunt and got
boo-hoo,
a double
Jennifer Lawrence.
Ear infection.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've all swam.
She when she was an X-Men, she
I'm
once.
I'm an actress. I can't swim in stagnant water.
When she was an X-Men, she had a really bad lunch and it turned her blue. She complained for ages about it.
to seven women.
The final question is good callback. The
Thanks.
Final. There were 35 full-time makeup artists. Okay, on the set.
Yeah.
And how many wigs on set were for the first film?
Beep beep beep.
Yes.
There were, I would say, 274 wigs.
You say for the first
274.
Film.
Well, this is for the Hunger Games, yeah.
That would be 273 wigs, I believe, was the correct answer.
So you've gone slightly lower.
I have, yeah.
And you are incorrect.
What?
It was 450.
I knew it all along.
So
that's where our hair goes when they cut our hair at hairdressers.
In an exciting...
Donated to Jennifer Lawrence's 400 wigs.
In an exciting turn of events, we have a tie.
Ooh.
Where both the brothers are on 7 points each.
Okay.
And so
we can say that I won it then.
No, I don't have a tiebreak question, but
let's do this.
Yeah.
Dill, what's your favorite number?
Well,
no, I have a better idea.
No, what's your favorite number?
It doesn't matter.
No, what's your favorite number?
44.
I see my favorite number is 7. And because we are on 7 points, I think, because my favorite number, it's just give it to me.
Well, I got more though, so I should get the point, surely.
Well, here we go. We're going to, what I want to do is, you can name a film that she stars in that I haven't heard of or seen.
Okay.
You can do that.
That's interesting.
That's very good.
That's
actually
nice.
Let's just go scene that I haven't seen.
Okay.
Beep.
American Hustle.
I have not seen that.
Yes!
Dylan wins the quiz.
I think we could have probably labeled any film that she's in, because I don't know if you've seen
He's taken the quiz.
X-Men ones that she's in.
I don't think I've seen any of the ones that were mentioned. Maybe some of the X-Men ones, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't recognize it.
Take the quiz.
Well done.
It's the theme song from the X-Men animated series from the 90s.
They didn't play that in the film.
I know. I wish they had, though.
Yeah, apparently Jennifer Lawrence asked them not to.
Hey, J-Lo.
Well, guys, thank you for listening.
Yes.
This has been a fun podcast. Thank you very much to Carl Weber for being a guest. Once again, it's not too late to get tickets for his show tonight at the Cape Town Comedy Club. And if you thought, oh, that was nice having him in for those two rounds, we've got two pieces of exciting news for you. The first is that next week we'll have someone else joining us for a short section. It might be Rob from Fear and it might be Derek Watson, Sunday Blues. Who knows? We are still working on that, but it will be someone fun.
Yeah.
And if you thought, oh, but I really wish I could hear more of Carl, well, in about 1 month or 2 months' time, we're going to be releasing a whole string of longer interviews with these people.
Got and a little more conversation with the brothers Dream. We got the rights and everything.
Yeah, we might have to record a new song. But yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.